We are very pleased at this time to continue our study in the 30th Psalm. The title of this psalm indicates that it was given upon the occasion of David entering into his new house. There's nothing in the psalm that says this, but the thoughts given in this psalm could certainly be most appropriate to the occasion of glorifying God, giving God thanks upon entering a new dwelling and beginning to use that as a home. This psalm talks about the fact that David has come through some great time of trial. He'd been brought to the very brink of despair. He'd felt that he was ready to die. He could look down and see the pit, which here refers to the grave. And so he begins by praising God, extolling God for having lifted him up, and has not made my foes to rejoice over me, he says. And this praise to God is given as a result of the fact that the Lord had brought his soul up from the grave, that had kept him alive, that it should not go down to the pit. And so in the fourth verse, he advises all saints to sing praises to the Lord, to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And he states in verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Now that's the point we've gotten to in our last lesson. So as we begin the sixth verse, we see he now reviews what his former state was. He tells what his feelings, what his attitude, what his character was like before he really got into this deep state of despair, before he got to this point of great distress from which God had to rescue him. So verse 6 states, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." Here he was in a state that he considered to be very prosperous. Prosperous from maybe several standpoints. It could be that he had wealth. It could be that he had good health. It could be that he felt very secure because of the fact that he had an army to protect him. He felt that he had great skills in warfare or great skills in being able to make a living. Doesn't matter what his prosperity was. He was in a prosperous state, one that he considered himself to be prosperous. And in this state, he said, "I shall never be moved." That is, I shall never lose this advantage that I have. I shall never be given an unfavorable state. I will always be able to keep this prosperity that I have. And we see that this is a very common feeling for a man to have. When a man has things going well with him, when he seems to be successful in business or financial affairs, when he seems to have great skills at certain things, when he seems to have good health, and all seems to be going well, everything he touches seems to turn to gold, so to speak, then he begins to think, "I shall never be moved. This is never going to be taken away from me. I'll always have this great state of prosperity." And if we really knew how absolutely temporary these things are, how unreliable they must be when it comes to man's true state of prosperity, how we are so closely dependent upon the blessings of God to have any kind of prosperity at all, then we wouldn't be putting this kind of confidence in these physical, temporary, earthly things. But David found that he was in this condition. He had done this. He had fallen into this trap. "In my prosperity," he says, "I said I shall never be moved." He was having this attitude, "Nothing can bother me now. I will never be moved. I'm going to continually have this security, this ability to protect, to defend, to provide for myself, and I'll never be moved." And it's so easy for man, especially when he's in a state of youth, to allow himself to think that nothing's going to happen to me. I'm going to always be in this safe, secure position. I'm always going to have good health. I'm always going to have these skills. I'm always going to have this possession, whatever it is that I may have. And he begins to think, "I shall never be moved." And it's this false sense of security that his prosperity gives him. We must not allow ourselves to fall into this trap. We must not allow ourselves to be so fooled and so deceived as to think that prosperity is our security, that prosperity is the thing that is going to give us what we need and what we want in this life. Certainly, prosperity is a necessary element of our condition, but prosperity alone is not our security. We must look to God. We must depend upon God. And when we let God out of our life, then everything that we have is so tenuous, it is so temporary, it is so unsure and insecure that we have no right to say, I shall never be moved. He further describes this in the 7th verse, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Now he had here a situation that he called my mountain. And this doesn't refer to Mount Zion or Mount Moriah. This happened in a period of his life before he had possession of these. But my mountain refers to whatever it is that was his prosperity. This may have been his ability to wage warfare. It might have been some skill, the skill at being able to play the harp, the skill at being able to be a shepherd and know how to successfully employ himself in that endeavor. It may have been his ability to have good health and his youth. Whatever his mountain was, it could be any one of many things, and we can use this and apply it to our lives also. Whatever we're looking to is our great security, the great thing that's going to keep us going. If it's some temporary, some earthly thing, some possession that we gain by earthly means, then it is the wrong thing to place our trust in. But David did this, and he talks here as though he's speaking to God. By thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. He was thankful for what he had. He seemed to appreciate what he had, but nevertheless, he depended upon these earthly temporal possessions for his security. He did not depend upon God like he should have, but he placed his emphasis on the wrong thing. His priority was not on spiritual things as much as it was on this thing that he called his prosperity. Now, it's easy for us to get into this position of losing our proper sense of where our priorities should be. Jesus said in Matthew 6, beginning with the 19th verse, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is speaking about our priorities. Where should our first thought be? Where should we be working hardest to lay up treasures, on earth or in heaven? The very plain answer is, we should lay up our spiritual treasures first. Let's get those heavenly treasures. And then that's where our heart is, and that's where we're going to have God. He further says in the 6th chapter of Matthew, down in the 33rd verse, when talking about having temporal possessions, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we can have temporal things. We can be blessed very muchly with the prosperity of the things of this earth and this life, but we first of all seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things are added to us. But when we get to the point that we begin to feel that these things come first in our life before God and before his kingdom, then we find ourselves in a very tenuous, a very insecure, a very unsafe condition. And that's what we're going to see happens to David here. David does say in this 7th verse, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. He recognized the fact that he received these blessings from God, but nevertheless he lost his sense of where his true value should be. And so it can be with us. For example, we can get a new car and think that this is just the greatest thing that ever happened to us, and we begin to put so much time and energy into that that we neglect God. And we may get a good job and hear the same thing happen. We put so much time and energy into that, some kind of an enterprise in which we make our living, that we begin to neglect the things of God. We think, well, I'll just never be moved from this, and so I must dedicate my life to it, and we lose our sense of where the proper priority should be. We forget to seek the kingdom of heaven. We forget to build treasures in heaven. We forget to seek the righteousness of God. And then we lose our sense of true value because we shift our value to temporal things rather than keeping the emphasis upon the spiritual things. Well, let's notice what happened to David. In the last part of the 7th verse, he says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Now, in the Bible, the phrase to hide the face means that favor has been stopped. The grace or the blessings that God so freely was giving have now been turned off. God has hidden his face. He no longer has this close association with God that he had in the past. He no longer has this great position of being in the direct favor of God, because he has somehow lost the love that he had. He's lost the great attention that he was giving to God in the previous times. He's now turned most of his energies to his prosperity and to his mountain. And so God then did hide his face. Thou didst hide my face, thy face, and I was troubled. Now here is where we see the prosperity come crumbling apart. Here's where we see the mountain not able to stand strong. Here's where we see all of these things that he was putting his great security into now becoming weak. He says, and I was troubled. Now, we do not know exactly what the situation was, but it could be any one of many, many things. It could be loss of health. It could be sickness in which his life was threatened. And all of these temporal things are very meaningless when we begin to think of ourselves as in a position where we're going to die. We're going to leave this life. These temporary things that we put so much confidence in, they go by the wayside now because they're not going to give us any help. This could be that he was losing his security. It might have been one of the times in which Saul had him cornered, and he felt that he was going to be captured after all, and Saul would put him to death. It might have been a time in which he was in distress over some problem that his family was having, when his parents seemed to be threatened. It could have been when he was losing some of his wealth and some of the things that he'd accumulated. It could have been when he was so desperate and hungry and having to beg for food. It could have been when he had to leave the country and go to a foreign country and there seek relief from a foreign king whenever he had been actually anointed king of Israel, but he was not allowed to take the throne. Many things it could have been, and many things this could fit within our lives today also. We have many occasions in which we may be prosperous, in which we may have a strong mountain, in which we will then shift our emphasis to temporal things rather than to spiritual things, and then the Lord will hide his face and will find that we are troubled. This was the condition of David, and I was troubled. We must never forget that without the Lord, we are nothing. Whenever the Lord turns his back on us, when the Lord hides his face, when the Lord withdraws his favor, we have no security. We have no peace. We have no mountain. We have no prosperity. We have nothing that we can turn to, nothing we can consider to be security at all, but we are in a state of being troubled. And the only thing worse than this is for a person to not realize what a great troubled condition they're in without God. David realized it. I was troubled. All of this great security that he had came crashing down. It was now nothing. He certainly did now shift his thought, shift his heart, shift his great energies toward God, because he saw that he was losing God. I was troubled. He now had no security. He now had no prosperity to speak of. He didn't talk about it. He didn't brag about it. He didn't depend upon it, because the Lord hid his face. In verse 8, we see what David's actions were. He says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. He turned to God. He cried to God. He appealed to God. And, of course, this is what good men always do when they lose the things of this life, the temporal things, when they're taken away, when these little baubles of this life that we put so much dependence in and we put our security in, and whenever they're gone, whenever they're threatened, then certainly we turn to God. We do not curse God. We do not give up in despair, but we lean heavily upon God. And it may be that when we place our dependence on the wrong things, when we put our emphasis on things that are of a temporal nature rather than the things of a spiritual nature, that God may remove these things from us so that we will turn to Him. This may be a test for us. The true man of God, the true person who is a God-fearing person, that person is going to turn to God. That person is going to get closer to God. And God may do this then to test us, to see if we will get closer to Him, to see what our where our true interest, where our true love really is. And in the case of David, he says, I cried to Thee, O Lord. Unto the Lord I made supplication. This is most proper. This is most in accordance with what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to get closer to Him. He wants us to cry to Him. He expects us to. So David acted in a very proper way here. Whatever he had done wrong, whatever he had done in the way of having his motives to be misplaced in this thing called his prosperity, he now realizes that. He now cries to the Lord. He makes his supplication to the Lord. He doesn't appeal to any other authority, any other spiritual authority. He doesn't pray to any other thing. He doesn't use any kind of idolatry or any kind of sorcery or witchcraft. He doesn't appeal to the stars. He doesn't see what his horoscope says. He doesn't use the things that might be in any way a reflection upon the power and authority of God. He goes to God. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. And that certainly is an example for us. When we're in trouble, let's go to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord first. We may ask others for assistance and guidance and help. We may find that they are even the instruments that God will use in bringing us some relief. But nevertheless, we go to the Lord. And that's what David did here. And so we're going to see the next two verses now are telling us what the substance of his prayer was. The approach that he made to God. The argument that he made to God. And how hath he used these thoughts and feelings to gain the attention and favor of God. So in the ninth verse he says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? This is his argument now to God as he cries to him. What is going to be the advantage of letting me die? Whatever the thing that had happened to him when God hit his face, whatever made his prosperity to crumble, it was threatening David's life. David felt like he was going to die. He was brought to the very brink of the grave. He could see the pit here. And so he says, what profit is there in my blood when I should go down to the pit? Just what is it going to gain by putting me to death now? And this is his reasoning. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And what David is simply saying is, I'll not be able to continue anymore to praise you, to declare your truth, to give thee service on this earth once I die. Now, this doesn't say anything about what the righteous people do after death in serving God then. We're talking about what happens in this life. When we die, the service to God stops in this life so that the things that we haven't done in this life will never be done by us once we die. We cannot come back. We cannot make up for all those things we left undone. That's the simple truth that's being given here. Now, if we've been a person that has been giving praise to God, if we are a person that has been declaring His truth, one that has been spreading the message, one that has been doing unto others as we would have done unto us, one that has been looking for the welfare and the spiritual well-being of others, then of course we have an argument here. Let me live and I can continue to do these works. But if we are a person that's never done these things to God, if we are a person that is not being fruitful and profitable in this life, what reason does he have to let us continue to live? You have no argument like David had. You can't say, like David did, shall the dust praise thee or shall it declare thy truth? You weren't doing it anyway. You weren't praising God anyway. You weren't declaring his truth anyway. So it doesn't matter whether you're here or whether you're dust. You're not doing any more for God one way than another. As a matter of fact, when you're at dust, you're going to be at least have your evil work stopped. And so we must be a person that is in favor of God to the point that we're praising Him, that we're declaring His truth, we're living according to His will, according to His commandments, to be able to make the argument that David made here. Otherwise, we're no better than dust. We might as well be dead. Maybe better off from God's standpoint if we were dead, because then we will have our evil work stopped once we die. So it's most important that we be in the favor of God to be able to make this kind of a cry to God. Or at least that we be in a position in which we want to start doing God's will. So, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? The things we haven't done in this life are things that we'll never do after death in this life. They'll never be done here upon earth. Never be done by us. And so our work that we leave undone, that we neglect, that work will never be done once we die. And we all are going to surely die at some time. So now is the time to do the work of God. Now is the time to do those things that we know that we should be doing. And he names two things here. One is to praise him. Now is the time to be worshiping God. We worship God at every opportunity. We worship God on those times, certainly when he's prescribed for us to give worship to him, which is the first day of the week. We do our level best to never omit a prescribed worship to God. And then we also declare thy truth. Of course, to declare the truth, you have to first of all know what it is. You have to know what the truth is to be able to declare it. But you also not only have to know it, but then you have to put out some effort, some kind of work, some kind of energy to declare it, to spread it to somebody else, to pass the word on, to declare the truth of God. So David, in his great time of distress, when he feels like he is on the very brink of death, and as he makes this great plea to God, he calls upon two of the great works of man as a reason why he should be allowed to live. One is praising God, and the other is to declare thy truth. The dust shall not do this. When we die, when our bodies turn back to dust, we'll never be able to do these works that we left undone. Somebody else may do these works, but they're doing them for them and not for us. They cannot do them in our place. So if we're ever going to be productive in the work of God, we must do it in this life now. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friend.